On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we linger. We linger and we pause for just a moment more before Christmas in this place of anticipation and wonder, not quite there yet, that sort of wonder that captures our hearts and our minds in ways we might not even be able to explain. And maybe in this way, we are a bit like Mary and Elizabeth. These two women, in that time, in that place, Mary has just learned of this great miracle, this great gift God has given her, although I wonder what she thought of it in the reality of the life of a young person in that time. And then there is Elizabeth, who also was not the most revered in her time. These two women come together. They are showing us some of the greatest pain, actually, of their day, right before we get to the joy. Elizabeth, one who is barren, one who could not conceive, and is in her old age thinking she would never have a child. But then the impossible happens. And then Mary, who should not have been pregnant yet, not yet married to Joseph, but is pregnant, they join together, and instead of humiliation, they celebrate God's greatness known in their lives. This is an amazing, unbelievable scene, really, in the Bible, and it's very rare. It's very rare in the Bible to have two women speaking to each other who are named. You may have heard of the Bechdel test. This came about in the mid-80s when Alison Bechdel drew a cartoon where two women are discussing, is it possible to go to a movie that has two women in it who are named, who are speaking to each other, and are speaking about something other than men? And in the 1980s, this was very hard to find. And still, about half the movies out there don't have that. And as is noted by those who look around for this, this doesn't mean it's a good movie. It just means that women are more than props. Women are more than just there on the periphery for the main action. And so if you do the Bechdel test with the Bible, you find kind of a similar thing. And somebody did this in an organized way. You can go on YouTube and you can watch a little video. It's kind of irreverent and sort of funny and edgy in the sense of what's edgy for the church. So it's not that edgy. But there's this thing called the Slate Project. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's younger clergy out of Baltimore originally who kind of make fun of things, but it's also pretty serious. And some of their videos are more what you might expect, and some are just way out there and kind of funny. And Jason Chestnut did this video entitled The Annoying Bible. So annoying because there's so few women who speak to each other in the Bible who are named who speak about something other than men. He could only find three instances of that in the Bible. Ruth and Naomi, Mary and Elizabeth, and then he said this was stretching it, in Exodus, Shifra and Puah, two midwives. He said, I love how he says, probably talked about their life as midwives together. We don't actually hear them doing that in the Bible, but they probably did. So I share this with you today to point out how revolutionary this text is that we are given today to consider. What are they talking about? They're talking about the greatness of God being made known in their lives. And this is shocking, because as I've already mentioned, they had every reason to feel humiliated, left behind, not valued. but it's the exact opposite. And maybe we've felt that way sometimes too. They're talking about things that seem impossible, and yet they are possible. God's love and God's grace being made known in their lives in a way that is going to change the world. And these two show us the way of love, the way of God's love and the way of their love as people together in the world seeking to be about God's business, about God's love, about God's care in the world. I mentioned in the announcements we've been doing a study called The Way of Love, Rule of Life. We actually missed completely this section of that teaching because on the second Sunday of Advent, we had that big snowstorm. Remember, it was just getting going. So we didn't stay for the class. And in that class, we would have talked about how these two, in coming together, are showing us that love cannot be contained. Joy cannot be contained. Of course, it makes sense, and this is still true, right? When women are pregnant, we help each other, we are with each other, family are together, they're cousins, Mary goes to Elizabeth, and their joy is magnified within them. And also in the world, their joy is magnified, both following the way of love. Who would you like to go to during this time of year and share a way of love forward in our world? It might be you can do that by sharing, maybe inviting somebody to one of our Christmas services to see what the church is really about. Not what people think it's about, because women hardly talk to each other in the Bible, right? We're up against a lot. It's so easy for us in here to think everyone understands what we're doing here and talking about, but we have a lot to share. And so something we might do is to think about how we want to share our joy this Christmas season as we get into it, our joy of God coming to us and what that means. What that means for us. The great line in the gospel reading today, blessed is she. Blessed is she who believed. It's so beautiful. Blessed is she. And why? Why is it a blessing? Blessed is she who believed. What is she believing? What are we believing? What are we believing in our lives that is a blessing for us that we would like to share? And then how can we sing Mary's song? How can we sing the song, this Magnificat, the Lord, I magnify the Lord. She magnifies the Lord in herself. I meant to actually bring those lyrics up here. Could you bring me my bulletin? Thank you. I love the canticle that we sang today because it paraphrases the Magnificat that Joe read. Thank you. My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near and the world is about to turn. This canticle of turning is the proclamation that through God's actions in Mary and Elizabeth, something huge is happening. That even though the world seems to dominate the weak, let the king be warned, for your justice tears every tyrant from his throne. The proud are put to shame, the strong to flight, for the world is about to turn. Elizabeth Johnson writes in her commentary that this song belongs to both women and to all women and men who long for redemption, who long for an end to poverty, warfare, injustice, racism, oppression, who who call on God to keep ancient promises and fulfill God's purposes in creation. The God of my heart is great, and my spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. We have been waiting. We have been waiting throughout Advent. We have been preparing for what we will celebrate tomorrow and on Christmas Day. And Mary is holding this within her, and Elizabeth also the promise. Paul Duke writes that this visitation, the first gathering, this could be seen as the first gathering of the community of Jesus, Mary and Elizabeth together, and shows how much we need each other. And this goes back to the way of love. How much we need each other for courage and to celebrate and to be bearers of the promise together. This is what we do here at the Church of the Holy Comforter. We give each other courage to face our world that doesn't always appreciate us or the things we care about. We celebrate together what we know is here already in us, the Christ in us, going out into the world to be bearers of God's promise. We support each other in this. Duke talks about Mary and Elizabeth being the prototype of the church. Improbable and subversive. Improbable and subversive. Filled with power in a world that gives them little of it. So often these days, people bemoan the fact that the church doesn't seem as relevant. But I maintain that it is when we are given little power that God's power is made great in us. This is the time, this is the moment, this is the time God has given us to be this church, to be like Mary and Elizabeth, to be brave and courageous, unified together, to be bearers of God's life in the world in new ways. This was improbable. So what are the new ways God is calling us to? How can we join Mary's song by living into it? For many of us here, this is already and will include advocacy and action towards social and economic change in favor of the poor, the excluded, the vulnerable, and the lowly. Spend some time with Mary and Elizabeth today. Be with them. Notice how they are with each other, so often in art depicted as embracing each other. What does God have for you in this image? How is God calling you to sing their song? Let us pray. O God of Elizabeth and Mary, you visit your servants with news of the world's redemption in the coming of the Savior. Make our hearts leap with joy and fill our mouths with songs of praise, that we may announce glad tidings of peace and welcome the Christ in our midst. Amen.